It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Joining us now is Joe Concha, Fox News contributor, author of the book, Come On, Man. Joe, welcome back to the show.
How are you? Can I share something real quick before we jump in?
Yes.
Because I was just reading it. Quinnipiac just has a poll out about President Biden's job approval.
Okay.
27% approval among men, 70% disapproval. 32% approval among Hispanics, 64% disapproval. 18 to 34-year-olds, 27% approval, 67% disapproval. I am looking at this, and I keep thinking I'm reading it wrong, but I think I'm not.
What's the overall approval they have for him?
37 approve, 59 disapprove. 22-point split.
Kind of typical, right? Of his numbers recently, a few of them have gotten a little better. That one looks worse than it's been in a while. Come on, man, he might even say in response to that. I don't know what else he could say.
Right.
Joe, I want to talk to you about what happened yesterday, really over the last couple days at NBC and MSNBC. We addressed it a bit here on the show. I made a few points that I wanted to yesterday, and there were reports circulating in the afternoon that NBC was going to basically unhire Ronna McDaniel. They hired her. Their people went absolutely crazy on the air. And then they have now indeed terminated the contract. And it's like, we barely knew you. She was barely there. My friend Mary Catherine Hamm said, look, either hire someone or don't. Like, if you don't want people like this, don't hire them in the first place and then cave to all this pressure from people wringing their hands. But I just want to give people a sense of the high dudgeon. Here is just a bit of a montage. This is cut three before the effective firing. Chuck Todd, Nicole Wallace, Rachel Maddow, boy, were they mad.
And look, there's a reason why there's a lot of journalists at NBC News uncomfortable with this, because many of our professional dealings with the RNC over the last 6 years have been met with gaslighting. Have been met with character assassination.
But we've also said election deniers is not just they can do that on our airwaves, but that they can do that as one of us, as badge-carrying employees of NBC News, as paid contributors to our sacred airwaves.
The person who is the head of the Republican Party during Donald Trump's time in office and during his effort to throw out the election result and stay in power anyway is Ronna Romney McDaniel. The fact that Ms. McDaniel is on the payroll at NBC News, to me, that is inexplicable.
Our sacred airwaves, Joe. Our sacred airwaves is what Nicole Wallace said. And then they all went out and tripped over themselves to gush over leadership for caving to their demands and saying, what a wonderful, refreshing place to work where we can show the bosses the error of their ways and they can say, you know what, you're right and give us what we want. What a fabulous place to live and work and to be on those sacred airwaves. I'm struck by the self-importance, like way off the charts, even in a business dominated by egos, Joe. It's amazing to listen to this.
Guy, the egos are so off the charts. The egos are like, if you compared it to a Goodyear blimp, you know, to a drone. In other words, the fact that they were able to bully management in the span of 48 hours to get rid of a contributor that they're paying $600,000 to, by the way, which they're probably going to have to pay out, right, once the Legal Eagles get involved here. Look, this is a trend, by the way. This isn't just a one-off MSNBC. They're all crazy over there, and this is predictable that it happened, that they took issue with, you know, again, this is Mitt Romney's niece that we're talking about, not some hard-right extremist. And you have Rachel Maddow saying, quote, in that same screed that you just played before, that McDaniel is part of an ongoing project to get rid of our system of government, unquote. So here's the trend I'm talking about. 2019, I don't know if you remember this, but Jeff Sessions's, remember that name, spokesperson joined CNN. And the uproar from within CNN
was
so great.
Sarah Isger Flores. She's actually
very good.
Very good
job 5 years ago. Yep. And she was dismissed because there was, well, internal.
We can't work with her.
Real concern about bringing on, again, Jeff Sessions' spokesperson. So we're not talking election deniers anymore, like the MSNBC excuse.
This is before the election denial.
Yeah. Yeah. And CNN's media team then runs with, well, there's a lot of concern within the building. Everybody's very upset about this. And before you know it, it's an avalanche of criticism, and then she's let go. Then we saw it again with CNN with Chris Licht last year. They give Trump a town hall, God forbid, the kind of town hall they used to give him, you know, on a regular basis in 2015, 2016. And then there was the uprising against Chris Licht, and then the CNN president is gone. We saw it with the New York Times. Senator Tom Cotton writes an op-ed. Pretty reasonable. Hey, if riots get out of control, maybe we bring in the National Guard. He's former military. It's a 50-50 issue, you can call it. It's a perfect idea for an op-ed. And then the editor who only won a Pulitzer, his name is James Bennett, he was let go just for the audacity of publishing that op-ed because the newsroom revolted.
Him out of
so
there.
This is now the pattern, guy, right?
Yep.
You can bully management into doing whatever you want if somebody is hired that you disagree with on an ideological basis.
Well, and what they say is, and it's a lie, but what they say is, well, this is different because of the election denial. You just went through a couple other examples that all happened and predated 2020 and January 6th of 2021. I do think that that was a particularly ugly period of time, and I blame Trump heavily for it. I've been very open about that. If they were saying this is specifically due to that, and if they had a leg to stand on, maybe I would listen to the argument. But you just listed counterexamples that I think blow the lid off of that excuse. And then here's the other one. And I gave this yesterday. I'm not sure if you saw it, but I want to get your take on it. I was scratching my head, going back into the recesses of my memory. And I said, was there a previous party chairman or party chairperson of the two major parties who did election denial, and then who got a TV contract at a quote-unquote respectable network with absolutely no outrage or rending of garments or any sort of big concerted effort to throw him out? And I said, oh, why, yes, there was. Cut 7, let's listen back in the day to then DNC chairman Terry McAuliffe.
This is the fundamentals of democracy. And this whole thing that the people do to say that, oh, Trump really won the election. What I hate about that argument is it's making our democracy look bad around the globe.
Let's go back to Florida. We actually won the last presidential election, folks. They stole the last presidential election. Folks, you know it. I know it. They know it. We won that election. And let's never forget it.
So the first clip is Terry McAuliffe more recently saying that the election denialism of Trump is very disturbing. It makes us look bad around the world. And then back-to-back clips of him in the capacity as DNC chairman saying that Republicans stole the election in 2000, which is a lie. It's a pernicious, ugly lie that many partisans believe and really tore at the fabric of our republic for years during the Bush administration. That man not only eventually became a CNN contributor, and no one cared about his election denialism, that's just their reason now, they made him a governor, right? I mean, right. Stacey Abrams did all of this before Trump did his 2020 thing. They made her the biggest celebrity in left-wing politics and a millionaire, and then the governor nominee again next time she had the chance. My point is, on the left, you can say there are substantive differences between what the left did in their election denial and the level that Trump took it to in 2020 and 2021. Fine. But they cheered and rewarded their election deniers, including with a CNN contract, and no one said a word. In fact, they were too busy applauding to even feign some concern over this. But now, boom, red line, Joe.
Oh, it's just too easy sometimes, right, guy? And let's put it this way. What, and I'm going to put you on the spot, but I think this is a pretty easy answer. Which U.S. congressman on the Democratic side gets more airtime on cable news than any other?
Ooh, I would say either like an AOC, Swalwell, Raskin combination.
Yeah, you're right there. Yeah, it's AOC. She doesn't do as many interviews. I guess they get more attention because, you know, she just gets attention. But Adam Schiff, there was once after the 2016 election, I think it was the Washington Examiner, looked at how many times he was on cable news, and it eclipsed somewhere around 150 times in the span of 18 months, which, you know, if you're a contributor, I guess maybe you can get to that number. But yeah, Schiff, Swaldwell, Raskin, right? Raskin, after the 2016 election, led the charge telling electors to reject the election results sound familiar.
He didn't want to accept, and he also called, if I'm not mistaken, 2004 stolen.
Yes, he did. After George W. Bush citing Ohio and voting machines and something went wrong.
So
Schiff has talked about Russia collusion. Hillary Clinton is probably the biggest example of this, a darling of MSNBC and CNN, and she has said the election was literally stolen from her and that Donald Trump is illegitimate. All right, you don't want to put on election deniers, then you better be consistent about it, because maybe you'll look hypocritical, and this whole excuse is just an excuse and a chance for all these folks on MSNBC and Kristen Welker, by the way, who got this whole ball rolling. You remember, she's supposed to be the objective one, who's the host of Meet the Press now. She's the one who said, I wasn't consulted about this hiring. She told viewers this, and then everybody there felt emboldened.
Well, if we're also concerned about dangerous misinformation and disinformation, here's a little montage that the team put together of just a few things that have aired in the last couple of years on the sacred airwaves of MSNBC regarding the origins of COVID, the Russia collusion hoax. Let's listen to cut four.
All right.
To a conspiracy theory going around that the coronavirus originated and was perhaps man-made inside a lab in China.
This question about the Wuhan lab, we know that it's been debunked that this virus was man-made or modified or anything like that.
A lot of people on the right love that phrase, escape from the lab, because it sounds like something from a Marvel movie or a comic book. Both scientists and the U.S. intelligence community agree that this coronavirus was not man-made. That is not a possibility.
The president is a Russian operative.
This cloud about collusion with Russia will hang over him no matter where he stands.
It does look like he's listening to Putin more than he is American intelligence.
We're about to find out if the new president of our country is going to do what Russia wants. The presidency is effectively a Russian op.
Okay, those are the sacred airwaves there of MSNBC. I remember, Joe, yeah, Brian Williams lost his job at NBC News because of his, like, stolen valor, constant Biden-style embellishments about things that happened or really didn't happen to him during his career.
Yeah,
they put him on the air at MSNBC. They gave him his own show.
That's right.
You think about Rachel Maddow. She was the queen of the Russia story, which, of course, didn't pan out. Talk to Robert Mueller. Read that report. Then, I mean, you think about, oh, my gosh, they're clutching their pearls. We cannot allow occasional contributions from Ronna McDaniel. And by the way, I'm not even a Ronna McDaniel fan. I get along with her fine. I don't think she did a good job as RNC chair. I don't know if she'd be any good as a commentator. That's not the point. They're saying we cannot abide Ronna McDaniel on our airwaves. Al Sharpton has had his own show. This man fomented race riots based on lies in which people were killed.
Yeah.
Jews were targeted. Joy Reid was exposed to have written some pretty nasty homophobic stuff on her blog in the 2000s. This got exposed. She then came up with an insane lie that, like, hackers went back in time and hacked this stuff under
That's
her
right.
name. No evidence of that. Totally made up thing. And I guess those things are fine. If you're a race riot fomenter, if you're a homophobe who lies about your content and makes up this story about hackers, any of those things, you are welcome on the sacred airwaves of MSNBC. But the line is drawn, Joe, at Ronna McDaniel.
The piousness, I think, is what bothers people the most, Guy. I mean, CNN, I thought, mastered it, but MSNBC brought it to a whole new level. I mean, they sounded like somewhere north of the Pope in terms of being on this high moral pedestal talking about truth. One example that should be included as well is one Jen Psaki, former White House press secretary, who negotiated her contract with NBC while she was still an active White House press secretary, taking questions from NBC News. You want to talk about an ethical breach. So then when somebody brought up that, well, you know, Jen Psaki is no different from Ronna McDaniel, well, Psaki goes on the air and talks about, well, it's different because I tell the truth and she does.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, people were just screenshotting her tweets about the Hunter Biden laptop being Russian disinformation. That was the very important, quote, truth that yep. Jen Psaki was a part of. I mean, you can pick anyone apart and say, here's a lie or this wasn't true. It's just how the standards are completely selective. It's Calvin Ball. They can lie about whatever they want to. They can have the worst human beings who are guilty of, I mean, fomenting race riots and, like, anti-Semitic hate crimes. That would be, like, way up there in the you can't be in polite society anymore yeah. list of things you can do. They gave that guy a show on this network. And then they have the gall to stand up and pretend on principle they can't do this with Ronna McDaniel because election denial. Again, not a word when CNN hired an aggressive election denier because they don't actually care about that. They care about other things and they dress it up. People, I don't think, are really buying it, but it's a useful demonstration once again of their standards or lack thereof and helping us in that department, Joe Concha, with a bunch of examples that we both brought to the fore here in this conversation. Joe, we appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Guy. Go Devils. We're going nowhere. Who are we kidding? But go Devils anyway.
Maybe next year. It's the Guy Benson Show, and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Clay Travis. Join me for Outkick the Show as we dive deep into a mix of topics. New episodes available Monday to Friday on your favorite podcast platform. And watch directly on outkick.com/watch.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.